Let's give a great big thanks to God for all of our moms today. God bless every one of you. I want to do something just a little bit different today than is kind of my normal sort of motif of sharing and ministering to you. I'd like you to take your Bible today and open to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to share for a few moments. And what I'm going to do, which is a little bit different, is usually my messages are 3 points. I know some of you think I can't count to higher than three. But it's actually going to be 5 points today. But I won't keep you any longer than normal, which is probably too long by some estimates. But we'll try to do what we can to streamline this today. But I want to share for a few moments about the marvelous ministry of motherhood. And 1 Peter chapter 3 will get us into the flow of what we're prepared to share today. And thank you today. I want to just say one other thing. You know, it is incredible what God is doing here in our midst. And we've already referenced how God is blessing. But I mean, it is just incredible how God is pouring out His favor on us. And for those of you that are here today visiting, maybe you're not regular attenders here at First Assembly, we welcome you today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and following. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they may without a word be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of fine apparel. Rather, let it be of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive unto their own husbands. And as Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. Now I wished, I hope I get to heaven to ask Abraham how he ever got Sarah to call him Lord. I'd like to know that. I really would. Not, it's kind of hidden between the lines there. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and be not afraid with any terror. Heavenly Father, take the word today in these remaining moments, and we ask you to speak to us in a real way across the house. And even for those of us today that are not moms, maybe there are those here that are not yet moms or would have liked to have been moms, but Lord, we pray that your word will challenge us today, whomever we are, wherever we are. Guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It was none other than our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, that once made the statement, "All that I am and all that I ever shall be, I owe to my angel mother." What's interesting about that quote is, even though in some scholarly circles there's a bit of debate in this regard, he wasn't referencing his biological mother, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, but actually his stepmom, Sarah Bush Johnston Lincoln, who had come into the family after Abraham was some years of age, after his biological mother had died of milk fever. And this stepmother became an incredible influence. In fact, just before Lincoln left to go to Washington to be inaugurated in 1860, the last visit he made was in her elderly years to Sarah Bush Johnston Lincoln, who said in that visit that she knew he was not coming back. She sensed that was the last time she would see her stepson, who indeed was assassinated before he returned to Illinois, to see her again. But he talked about the incredible influence that she had upon him. I want to say to you today, even though we're living in a day where seemingly feminism is on the rise, for some reason motherhood has kind of fallen on a bit of hard times. It's almost like we have flipped this coin in altogether the wrong direction. We talk an awful lot about a woman's right to choose, and within the last many days, the New York legislature has voted for full-term abortion. We are living in times where we hear a lot about independence. We hear a lot about a person having their own identity, pursuing seemingly their own direction. And yet, we cannot minimize the influence that moms have upon kids, grandkids, and in the case of Lincoln, and certainly many of us in this room, I can't speak for anyone else here, but I was reared in a dysfunctional environment and was ultimately taken from our parents, and I was made a foster kid. I was in foster homes for many, many years of our life. It was the women that were not my biological mother that had an incredible influence. Women in the church that I wasn't connected to by blood that took us under their wing and loved us like Christ would love. These were surrogate moms. I can't even describe. I can name people you would never know that had an unbelievable influence on me in our younger years when all of that dysfunction came to a head and we were trying to figure out what we were doing, where we were going, and the folks we stayed with allowed us to continue to attend the church we had kind of been a part of and our family, even though the dysfunction had been connected to. And so many of those Sunday school teachers and so many of those leaders in the church, women's ministries leaders and other people, they embraced our family. Well, my biological mom and dad were drunk out of their minds on Saturday night and didn't even know what was going on Sunday. It was my grandfather and grandmother who got us up for church and took us every Sunday. I was seated beside my grandfather, and my grandmother was on the other side of me when I gave my life to Christ at 7 years of age. And my grandfather and grandmother walked through the aisle with me when I gave my life to Christ. And who knows the reasons that people make the decisions that they do. But there's a whole generation of kids that are really the wounded ones in these circumstances. They're the ones that often take on so many of the blows and walk through so much of the confusion of what in the world is going on in their situations and their circumstances. And moms, even those who are not biologically connected, can have an unbelievable impact. Of all things, yesterday, while we were out and about looking at some houses and various things as we're doing, we got a call. Our phone rang. And an individual that we've had some contact with, more so in recent times, was describing a situation that was in relationship to someone that she was not connected to biologically. And she said, I just feel horrible for these kids. And she said, they're not mine. They're not my blood in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, I can't feel like that. I just can't not do something. And she started telling us what she was going to do and how she was going to proceed. And we were just humbled to listen to this. She has her own kids. But she knows some others that her arms are big enough to put around. And she said, I just cannot allow this without doing something. And once she was talking to us, Nancy said, you know, I can't not do anything either. She said, how much do you think it's going to take to do such and such and so and so? And she described it to us. And Nan says, well, you know what? I haven't got an extra lot, awful lot extra, but I want to invest in that. Yeah, are you listening to this? You know, there is in spite of all of this talk through a world that is becoming more and more left and liberal and seemingly looking at us, the people of God, based on the scriptures and the holy concepts of God and His Word, who seem to feel like we're somehow in the middle of Never Never Land, that we're somehow so narrow-minded and so closed-minded. I want to tell you today, we have an incredible opportunity to minister to families and children and kids that are grandchildren to those and the people around us, that they're just longing for meaning and significance. And today, we're grateful for the influence. And that influence can continue in the lives of those that are all around us, wherever we go, wherever we work, wherever we live. And, you know, Lincoln talked about this woman, this Sarah Bush Johnston Lincoln, his stepmom, who he talked of as being an angel mother. Allow me today to take the word angel and make it into an acrostic. And if you do like word kind of stuff like I do, an acrostic, because I'm going to take each one of those letters and I'm going to make another point out of it, out of the A, the N, the G, the E, and the L, to talk about the ministry of motherhood today. First of all, the A is moms have great value because of their ability. This is not even a word. I've coined this today. Because of their adepting. A-D-E-P-T as adept. It means skillfulness. It means the ability to do things well. Well, I mean, all these are going to have ing, so I had to add that to make it fit. So, you know. Adepting, not even a word. But moms have an ability. And, you know, they say that need is the mother of invention. That sometimes when something needs to be done, that ability to look at it and think, well, I might be able to do it this way, often brings about creations. Moms are gifted like that. Because often they see a need in their loved ones, those nearest and dearest to them. By blood or not by blood, but in those that are somehow within their reach. And they find a way to not just do things, but to do it skillfully, adeptly. Because they want to have the kind of influence that is lasting. I happen to be married to the finest mother I've ever known. Nance is unbelievable. She does stuff I'm just like, oh my God. And she has this gift. I don't even know how or what. She just can do stuff and specially do things. And I remember when our son Zach, he's now 34. Oh my God. Wow. 34 years old. And one time he had a little balloon of some kind and he broke it. Nance could fix anything. At least Zach thought. So he had this, the balloon exploded and here he comes with all this balloon and all his little pieces, little tears run down his face. He goes, Mama, fix it. Well, I don't know that it's even possible to do that. But somehow moms have a skill that their kids tap into. James Dobson, who used to be, of course, CEO of Focus on the Family, many of you may have listened to that radio program as I have for a long, long, long time, used to say that parenting in our day is like nailing poached eggs to a tree. Tough business. But there's an adeptness that comes in a way when that little bumpkin comes into the world and that mom, as it were, looks into the face of God. You know what I'm talking about. There is something in her that naturally rises up that not only wants to do what she can do, but wants to do it well. It's not that moms are perfect. It's not that moms are perfect. I heard about this little boy that went to Dillard's. I guess Dillard's or Macy's, take your pick. JCPenney, that fancy French clothier, you know, one of those places. And so he walked in there, and it was getting on Mother's Day, and he wanted to buy his mom, quote-unquote, the perfect gift. So he went into the department there, and he walked up to an attendant. He didn't quite know how to use the right terminology, and so he was telling the attendant what he wanted to buy for his mom. And the attendant said, well, what size is your mom? He goes, why? I don't know. I really don't know. But my mom's perfect. My mom's perfect. And so the attendant purchased his size 8, 7, 6 size clothing and put it in the bag and then wrapped it up and took it home to mom to give her the perfect gift. And a few days later, mom came back and changed it for a size 16. You know? But anyway, that sense of adeptness, that sense of skill and that desire to not just do something but to do it well has an influence on those that watch her because they see in her something, that she's doing it because of that incredible desire and that connection to her family. So she's adept. She's adepting. And then the N is she is nurturing. Mothers nurture. Now, dads, we're anchors. We just put it down and we hold steady, come what may. But often, if we're really honest about it, now it's not true, necessarily altogether true in our day because there's a lot of bivocational families and dual-income families. But largely, when dads have the responsibility to be gone so much to do what is necessary to provide as is needed, you know, moms have to an awful lot of the time do an awful lot of the other thing of the nurturing and in the infusion of values and integrity and character. And they do that by not only demonstrating it in themselves, but they do it by a constant means of being able to communicate as only moms can. Moms are just like the greatest teachers on earth because they're able to say things to their kids nobody else can. Grandparents take on another level. You know, when you're a grandparent, as I am, you have an opportunity to speak into your grandkids' lives that is unbelievable. And grandparents get away with stuff. Oh, yeah, they can. I love it. I absolutely love it. But moms they have that ability to nurture. And they have that ability as they bring those young ones and those lives. And it isn't even, hear this, just when they're young fries. Even as they get a little bit older, in fact, I've found with ours, who are 34 and 36, I have found that when the nurturing stuff calls, it's definitely they call mom. I get an opportunity to have some input, too. But it's mom they really want to talk to when situations are not necessarily all that they would hope and want them to be. Because moms have a natural nurturing desire to pour into, to infuse into. And we must not in our time negate the significance and the importance of this. Now that text we read just a moment ago, I'd like us to go back, I think it's verse 3. And I want you to see here how Peter puts this. Now listen to what I'm going to say and don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. I am not saying by what we're about to read, hello, that anyone is supposed to look like something the dog drug in.
Oh, you know, these biblical writers, they don't get it at all.
He's not saying this. Women have a beauty and it's wonderful to behold it. God given to them. But watch this. Don't let your adornment be merely outward. It's not supposed to just be the outer appearance. I don't even know how to say this without sounding wrong. But we're living in a day where people know how to put it on, but they can cut you to shreds in a heartbeat with their tongue. And something's altogether wrong with all this emphasis upon mere outward adornment. The scripture isn't saying, you know, you're not supposed to look decent. You know, my grandfather used to say that all barns look better with a little paint on them, you know. It's all right to put on something nice and look nice and smell nice. It's all right. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's a way in which we actually present ourselves that's a testimony of who we serve. Hello. But don't let it merely be outward. Not just the arranging of the hair. Don't let it just be about the hair or the gold or the fine apparel. Let it be of the hidden person. The beauty of the outside is only complemented when it's coupled with an inner person that has such a nurturing personality about them that they're always looking to pour themselves into those around them. The incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, precious in the sight of God. Adepting, the N is nurturing, the G is gracious. Graciousness. Now I'm going to say something about these magnificent moms of who so many are represented in this house today. Your life has an eminence of grace. Moms have an ability to know what to say and when to say it. And extend great grace and mercy. And there's something about that ability to know how and where and when. Because sometimes the time to lower the boom isn't just when you feel like it. Sometimes there needs to be grace. And that graciousness, that ability to somehow look past, to see the real person, to hate the sin, but to love the sinner. That graciousness that has an ability to just to wrap around and to receive. That graciousness goes a long, long ways. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. Mom's ability, even when there are circumstances, there are situations where junior, or maybe big junior, maybe someone within their sphere of influence is not in the best of steads, that graciousness, that is ability to be extended, to be shared, when maybe the alternative is more than deserved, somehow as a way of bringing the best, even out in those that perhaps have found themselves in places they ought not to be. That ability to say, the scripture talks about learning how to season your speech with salt. In other words, knowing what to say and when to say it. There's something about that that moms have that I have always been amazed. It's kind of like the mom that was watching her little boy in the marching band. And she was standing next to some of her other extended family members, and he was watching little Johnny, and she goes, "Oh, look!" She says, "Little Johnny is the only one in step!" Hello? You know what that means? He was out of step! But the graciousness of being able to share themselves, to invest themselves. Time and time again, that graciousness goes a long ways. I remember some years ago, if you remember Greg Louganis, who was a great American champion gold medal diver, and he had time and time again, he was just incredible how he was able to do what he did. World champion many, many, many times over. And they were interviewing him. I like listening to people tell their side of the story about stuff. And they were interviewing Greg Louganis, and they said, "How in the world do you get up on that diving board, you get up on that high platform? How in the world do you do that? Because at any one moment, disaster looms. How do you do it?" I'll never forget what he said. This world champion athlete said, "The one thing I know is even if I crash, my mom will still love me." That's grace. That's grace. When a kid knows they can always come home. When a kid knows they can always make a call. When a kid knows that there's always going to be something extended their way that will somehow help them through the deepest of challenges in their life. That grace will continue to speak even in the midst of some of the most horrible and terrible of situations. I don't know if I've told you the story. Forgive me if I'm being redundant. I don't mean to be at all. I don't pick up hitchhikers. I just don't. You never know who you're picking up. You sure don't want them in your car. But I was working some years ago. I was out on East US 40, and I just finished some work in Knightstown, if you've been out that way. And I came out of the store that I'd been in. It was about 5 a.m. in the morning. And I saw a hitchhiker cross the road. And he was walking up US 40 headed east. And the Spirit of God said, "Pick him up." I started having a discussion with God. I'd been up all night. I was really tired. I thought, "Lord, I don't pick up hitchhikers." And God said, "Pick him up. Pick that dude up. And you take him as far as you possibly can. And talk to him while you have him in the car." And I don't know how God talks to you. I know He talks to me. I was just having this discussion. I didn't really want to do it. I was really tired. I wanted to get home. And I was saying, "God, you know," and God said, "Pick him up!" And I couldn't help myself. I just pulled the car over. I opened the door. And I said, "You know, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I really don't do this, but I feel like I'm supposed to pick you up. I'm a minister of the gospel. I mean, I look like it right now. I'm covered with newsprint. Man, I look like it, but I'm a minister of the gospel. And I'm supposed to pick you up and take you as far as I possibly can. Do you mind getting into the car?" Dude climbed in. And I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Well, I've been walking from the bus station on downtown Indianapolis." If you know where that's at, down there just the other side of where the, used to be, it's not where Lucas Oil Stadium is, but down that area of town. He had walked all the way from there to east of Nicetown, and no one person had stopped. He'd been walking, he said, for 2 days. Not a person had stopped at all. I said, "Well, why in the world did you get dropped off at the bus station in Indianapolis? And why have you walked this far? Don't we pick you up?" He goes, "Well," he said, "some years ago I got mad at my mom and my dad, but really my mom was at the source of it." He said, "My mom and dad are ministers of the gospel. I got mad at them. I got furious and offended." And he said, "I ran away. I left home." He said, "I was all the way down in Florida, south part of Florida." He said, "I had just ruined my life, absolutely ruined my life. And I didn't have hardly anything left except enough money to take the bus from South Florida to Indianapolis. His parents lived just western Ohio. And he said, I felt the Spirit of God say, it's time for you to go home to your mom. He said, used everything I had to get to the bus station. I had nothing left. And I decided I'm going to walk the rest of the way. And I said, so you're telling me that you're leaving Florida, coming to Indiana, and now you're headed home, and you're trying to get home to see your mom. He goes, yeah, I want to get home before my mom is gone and to repent at the feet of my father for what I did. I led that man to Christ in my car, a man I didn't even want to pick up, and I took him as far east on US 40 as I could until I finally had to turn south to go to the house. I gave him everything I had in my pocket, which wasn't much, but I gave him what I had. And I prayed with him. You know what? I don't fully understand how all this works, but I will tell you this. There are times when people need to get home to mom, that need to reconnect. They don't need our judgment. They don't need someone to slam the door on them and tell them they already know what they've done. They already know what a mess they've made of their life. I've heard people say, well, somebody needs to tell them the truth. Yeah. But there's sure a right time to do it. And not necessarily a wrong time. You got to be careful. I'm so grateful today for not only moms that are adept and moms who nurture. I'm thankful for the grace that's extended to moms that have an ability to share that. It makes such a difference in their families' lives. But fourth of all, so the E is there. They are edifying. Moms are praiseworthy. They always find the best. And they share that. They communicate that. And you know, for some reason, come what may, not even just kids, but even their husbands want to hear it. What does a guy want to hear the first thing he walks in the door? What's the thing that every guy wants to hear the moment he goes in the door? What he wants to hear is the joy of his wife's voice. But out laboring and sharing and working and doing. And the same is true of these kids. I get this sense, you know, our daughter's overseas. I actually WhatsApped her video coming over for a few minutes today. And I'll talk to her after I leave here today for a few more minutes later. It's 7 hours difference where she is than here. And you know, our son talked to his mom 2 nights ago and talked again last night. And he calls, you know. I try to get my evening siesta. He always seems to call by the time I'm just laying down. Oh, Dad, I said, talk to your mom. No, it's not quite that bad. But nonetheless, there's that edifying, building up. Everybody wants to hear that positive word. Our world is filled with so many haters. So many people that want to pull down. So many people that want to tear us apart. Not to mention the fact, hear me today, we're in the church of a living God. We fight a real enemy who wants to do nothing more than steal, kill, and to destroy. Wants to rip up people's lives. Wants to destroy hearts and homes. And somehow in the midst of all of that, we need to hear something positive. One of my pastors used to say that you draw a whole lot more bees with honey than vinegar. And there's something magnetic about that positive voice. In order to have a positive voice, you got to be careful what Zig Ziglar used to call stinking thinking. Because you can only give out what you take in. A computer's only going to kick out how you process it. And so if somehow we can keep our minds focused on the right things, and we can keep our eyes focused upon the God who sits upon the throne of this universe, if we can somehow constantly be reminded of ourselves that there's a power available in this world that come what may, that's able to lift us up when everything around us wants to tear us down. And there's nothing better than a mom whose mouth is filled with the word of God. I know the plans I have for you, saith God. Plans to prosper you plans to bless you, to give you a hope, and to give you a future. That optimism, that sense of being edified and built up, sometimes will give you just enough as you walk out of the door to face what you're going to face in a world that's trying to do everything in its power to tear you apart. These moms who are adepting, these moms who are nurturing, these moms who are gracious, these moms who are edifying, and last of all, these moms who are the L, who are loving. Loving. Who embrace. You know, there are four different kinds of love that are referenced in the scripture. You may have heard three, but it's actually four. There is the eros, which is simply, we get our word erotic, it's primarily just that physical type of romance. There is the philos, which is the friendship kind of love. And we understand that brotherly love, that sisterly love for those of us, for those that may be within a sphere of influence, that we could actually say we have these friends and we love them. There is the stoicheia, which is the family kind of love. You don't pick your family. You know, I was at a funeral years ago for my grandmother's funeral. My grandma had all kinds of kids and all kinds of siblings, and there were kids, and the kids had kids, and so this dude walked in the door. I was standing next to my brother, and I said to my brother, I said, "You know who that dude is over there?" I said, "I don't think I've ever seen him before." He goes, "Oh yeah, that's Dad's oldest sister's son." I said, "Oh, I didn't even know him." I said, "Hey man, how you doing? I love you." Well, never seen the dude before, but you love your family, right? But here's the love I'm referencing as I close today. And it's the agape love. That's the love of God. That's the self-sacrificing love. That's the love that says, I'm going to cast my bread and believe that it's going to come back. I'm going to pour myself into with little or no consideration of how I might get something out of this. It's that person that is constantly pouring themselves into those near and dear to them. And maybe even those that are extended beyond us that maybe we're not even connected to. Because of the dysfunction that was not just in my family, but my wife's family to some degree as well. And we followed the call of God coming out of training and doing the best we knew how to do. We were a long, long, long ways away from our biological families, all the way across the country. Most of them, my family's in the Pacific Northwest, West Island, Montana. Came all the way to this area of the country. None of our family anywhere close to us. And we often wondered how it was going to be in pursuing the call of God, what it was going to be like for our kids as God brought them and favored them into our lives. And you know, God just brought folks our way. I can think of a little retired school teacher who never had her own kids. She's in heaven now, Ola Mae Grace. Had been a school teacher for all of her adult life and had not married, had no children. But she decided to make our kids her surrogate grandkids. And she invested in them. And she poured herself into them. Not asking whatsoever anything for herself in return. But you know this, don't you? That when you pour out your love, you receive it. Because as you give, it is given unto you. That verse we often quote in Luke 6:38, we often think it's just about money. Oh God, it's much more than that. It's basically saying this. Look at me, and I'm going to finish in the next couple moments. Listen to this. What it's saying is you get out of life what you put into life. So if I love people,
well, you got to watch out for people. They'll hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah, they will. Am I the only one in the house has ever been stomped on? Yeah, you pour your love in, there will be times that some people walk all over it. Mother Teresa, you ever seen the little writing of hers called Anyway? If you ever see it, buy it. I can't quote it entirely, but it says something like this. Even though you put your love out, it's often thrown back at you or walked on. Love anyway. Because it's not about that person anyway. You see, if we're not careful, we can look at an individual situation of life and overgeneralize. And what that means is, if I pour my love out in some regard and it gets thrown back in my face, there's a bad habit of some people to say, well, if that's the case, it'll always be like that. Nothing could be farther from the truth. There are times when we'll have bad experiences. There are times when there'll be stuff happen that we didn't sign up for. But we still need to keep putting it out there. In hope. And in faith. Yeah, there may be stuff that happens that we didn't want to happen. But love's right. Love is always a good thing. Because I think our Bible says it covers a multitude of sins. So, there may be times when you invest and people waste it. But keep on investing. Because when you cast it, it will come back to you. Not many days hence. You may have a time where you have poured yourself out and somebody just not only walked all over, but they backed the car up and backed all over it too. They went both directions with it. But just keep putting it out there. Because somehow at the end of the day, our God keeps the books. The God of eternity keeps the books, and He knows when you're doing what you're doing and how you're investing. And somebody might say, well, if I do that, will anybody notice? Who cares if anyone notices? You're not doing it for them anyway. You're doing it for Him. And He keeps the books. He watches over what you put out there and how you put it out there. He not only knows what we do, but He knows the motives of why we do it. And somehow when we give, it is given back to us, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I close today with this little story and then we're done. True story. Many, many years ago, a young doctor who was trying to put himself through medical school was out going door to door selling periodicals, trying to somehow make ends meet to finish, and he was struggling financially. And he had been out on a particular day going door to door, had not had a good day, and finally stopped at a little widow's house and knocked at the door, told her who he was, what he was doing. And she said, you know, I'm on fixed income, very fixed income. I cannot purchase anything that you have. And she noticed his countenance fall at the time when he was making his presentation. And so she said, you know, you look tired. I can't buy what you have to sell, but I'd like it if you wouldn't mind for a moment. Come on in. Let me sit down and give you a bowl of soup and a sandwich and something cold to drink. And they struck up a conversation. They shared, and she could see that his eyes brightened, and he seemed to look much better, and they shared pleasantries. He departed. He asked her, I know because I'm a medical school, but is it possible that I could just take your name? I'd like to keep it just as a memory of this good day we've had together, this time. 25 years later, thereabouts, that same little widow was diagnosed with a very, very serious brain aneurysm. And they did not know that she would even live. The doctors, the physicians said there was nothing they could do, but they understood there was a physician in Upper New York State that had a technique that was really novel at the time that perhaps could not only spare her life, but be a blessing for others that would follow if it was successful. They brought her up to New York State. They did the procedure. It was successful. And she was rejoicing. The family was rejoicing. And as she was getting ready to be dismissed from the hospital, the staff said, the doctor would like to see you, if possible, in your room for a few moments, just you and him. And they said, he never does this. He usually is way too busy with his practice, but he would like to see you personally. And so he walked in the room and he shared some pleasantry, and he said, "Now I'd like to give you your bill. And she goes, I don't even know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't have anything left. I'm obviously very elderly in years. He says, no, when I leave, I want you to look at the bill for yourself. As he walked out, the bill was placed on the table. She opened the envelope and looked on the inside and said, paid in full with a bowl of soup, sandwich, and a cold glass of milk. Can I tell you? Love's always right. It's always right. Your love will be thrown back at you, but love anyway. You'll be run over sometimes, but keep loving. You'll get hurt sometimes, but keep putting it out there. Because you never know who it is you are sharing that love with. And there'll come a day, moms, when all your young and your extended family and those you've put into will rise up and call you blessed. That's the kind of moms America needs today. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your kindness and your goodness to us. Thank you for the moms in the house. Thank you for the families they represent. There are moms here today that carry great burdens for wayward children, grandkids they would love to influence even more than they are, but they may not be able to do even the things they want to do. Maybe those who are here that are struggling financially, they've given out, and they don't have anything more to give. Or maybe they carry within themselves an infirmity. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for these angel moms. Thank you for those women in our dysfunctional years that invested to help me be where I am today. And I thank you for those that have done that for others. And maybe there's times they wonder if even God has seen. But God, we know that you not only see, but it's going to come back without a doubt. We pray, Lord, today for not just these moms, but moms just like them all around us. And we realize our country, who is daft in immorality and materialism and all the rest, that is promoting an agenda that is absolutely nothing godlike. Help these moms and these grandmoms and those that will be moms and want to be moms. I pray, Lord, that something will penetrate their heart, that they'll have the anointing that was on a Mary, the mother of Jesus, that was on a Hannah, it was on a Ruth, it was on a Sarah. These that have a quiet and gentle spirit, that know what to say and when to say it, that know how to give and how to give it, that know how to invest and where to invest. May an anointing beyond anything of this earth be upon them and go with them. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name.